The hour that packs a punch. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I just want to let everybody know who's sending me messages. You guys are the best. All of you. I love you all. Y'all's did actually is in the chat room, and he says, got to get paid, Reese, in talking about people selling paraphernalia after the towers were attacked on September 11th. It's absolutely true. Raymond, he says, forgiveness is for everyone. Who is this man to judge? It's kind of where we are. Matteo says, I don't believe that. I just thought that was the protest. I don't know. Joey P says, one does not get to heaven by works, meaning one cannot earn their way into heaven. One can only get to heaven through putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Robert B writes, if Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in heaven, then who's knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door? Sorry, I had to. I appreciate it because I got a good laugh out of that one. So keep them coming. I love you folks because you are hilarious. Let me tell the quick Aaliyah story, and I won't get into the whole nonsense, but this is really, really a very horrible story. A lot of people don't know this, but, you know, if you are into that music business thing, I want you to look this up. This is verifiable. Aaliyah's passing was due to, she was filming a music video in Bermuda, Barbados, something like that. Anyway, and a plane crash happened when they lifted off, and a plane had too much weight, and, of course, a crash causing her death, as well as many others who were on the plane. And a lot of people did not know that Aaliyah was made to go do this music video for a song called Rock the Boat because sales of this album were abysmal. It had been out for over 4 weeks, and it wasn't selling. It was not doing well at all. And after her death, this was actually said by a record executive at her label after her passing. This is their exact quote. They said, to be honest, that album was doing so bad, I'm surprised they didn't throw her off a plane, was the actual quote. And even I said, damn, that's how cold that music business is. That was what was said. And everybody who knows it, and I don't care what anybody says, come back at me if you want to. You know you said it. That was the way they treated it. That's a horrible thing to say. But that's how they treated it. They were not even sad. But anyway. And then the album went platinum after her death, which was, again, that's another story. Let's get another check of weather and traffic with Mark Christopher in the BPS Traffic Center.
Reese on the radio is getting ready to drop some knowledge on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We're back, Reese on the radio. Let's get to a couple of phone calls. Mark's in Windsor. How are you, sir? Mark, you there?
Hello?
Hey, Mark, you there?
Hey.
What's up, boss man?
I'm here. Hey, I wanted to kind of see if you would get a read on this state trooper. They call him the cop tour guy that spit in the YouTube
yes.
journalist's face.
Yes.
I think that they let him retire. I think
yes.
that's disgusting. I
yeah.
think that the department and the command staff, they took a huge black. It stains them. Because,
but I don't think that, yeah. Now first of all, let's take all of this in consideration because this is a very, very important development that I told people when I discussed it on the 18th. That was when I did a whole monologue about it, opening monologue on July 18th. And at the end of that monologue, I said that he was going to have to go to take a break and leave the department, which of course he ended up doing and was allowed to do. But the story's not over, Mark. By no stretch of the imagination is this over. There's still a pending case, and the Internal Affairs is looking into his actions, not just the spitting, but also the fact that he came at him with his weapon, saying, because, again, remember what's supposed to be believed in this story was that the officer, Fahey, was under some form of physical threat by Reyes, which in the video describes nothing of the sort. He approaches him at a great rate of speed while he is backing away. In fact, from the moment he tells him to get off the property, Reyes, he does what he's told. He follows orders. Right.
And Fahey goes back in his house and retrieves his gun.
Exactly.
And leaves the safety of his home.
Exactly.
There was no threat, but he leaves his home and runs after, pursues.
Exactly. And Reyes. even though he's walking, he approaches Reyes at a great rate of speed, even for walking, while Reyes continues to back up and walk away. So he's confronting him with a weapon in his hands while saying that this guy is a threat to him and screaming that he threatened to kill. So what is he there for? If, you know, what should have been done was secure his home and his family, contact the police, secure the perimeter of his home, make sure that Reyes does not return to his property and protect himself. But no, he engages with him. And I'll go so far and see if you agree with me on this one. Remember what every argument was about George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin when he was following Trayvon and the dispatcher said, "We don't need you to do that."
Yes.
Do you remember that argument? That was a huge argument. They're saying, "We don't need you to do that." And they're saying that because he received those instructions, continuing to pursue him was where George Zimmerman was in the wrong. So let's make that same assumptions with Fahey. Fahey tells him to get off the property. There is visual that he's leaving the property. You go inside, retrieve a weapon, and then approach him while he's continuing to leave. You are in hot pursuit of a guy who followed your instructions.
Yep, I agree. I agree 100%. And if anything, he prevented, he stalled him from leaving the property.
Exactly.
Yeah, and because he could have stayed in his house. There was no need to secure anything. I mean, Reyes wasn't there to threaten them or, you know, do him any harm except
for maybe
some uncomfortable questions. But he was back in the safety of his home and, you know, he could hide there. He was hiding inside his home, but he chose to escalate the matter. But I think it's extremely poor leadership and professionalism for the governor's office and for the state police command staff to have allowed him to retire, to even have that, be able to do that. Because to me, it says, the state police says they can spit in your face. As long as you don't have a camera there.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, they've got a PR nightmare on their hands because, first of all, this guy Reyes, like his tactics or not, is unrelenting. This guy is a dog, like a dog with a bone on this.
Yeah.
He knows he has Fahey dead to rights on this, mm-hmm. So he's not going to let it go to allow this guy to. It's got, you know, again, just when you think he has to walk away from it, I know he is going to escalate this to higher ranks and going to say, look, what this guy did, and showing the videotape, everybody is going to see that and go, this guy had no reason to pursue him while he's leaving the property. And as he's saying, with his hands elevated, you know, let's go to the hands up, don't shoot, you know, narrative. He's got his hands up in the air telling an officer with a gun in his hand, "I'm leaving."
Right.
You know, and so all of that goes, it pushes back on all of the nonsense you've heard from the left over the last 10, 15 years. And this guy is able to just walk.
I would have a real problem reading a state trooper's report today. I would, you know, because they let him walk away with that. And if Fahey were writing it, I bet his report is, he was on the phone with 911 and he told them that he threatened his life. And we saw he never did that.
Yeah.
Then he's, you know, and then he spits in the man's face.
Yep.
I mean, that is one of the most vile, disgusting. It's
reprehensible.
Fight, even in a fight. In a fight, I could not see doing that.
You know the part, Mark, about this that really drives me up the wall? Let me tell you this. You brought up a good point earlier, talking about how Fahey was on the phone inside of his house contacting the police. Now, I want you to think about this, okay?
Hmm.
You have an officer on the phone with the department saying mm-hmm. that a person has trespassed on his property who has threatened to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, in any other world, in any other scenario, that doesn't put sirens up and hundreds of police officers running to the aid of one of their fellow officers.
He had eight cops there. He got eight cops there. Eight
exactly.
or nine cops.
Exactly.
He got eight.
So yep. with that scenario, knowing that you have the backup, I'm an officer of the law, even though I got desk duty, I'm a former state trooper, I've been in the field, I've worked for the department or as a state trooper, 20 years? As a veteran, and this guy knows everybody that is anybody, and I call on the phone and I say, I got a guy threatening me at my home, a cop's home. And you don't think that there's a legion of police officers waiting to get there to render you aid, and you decide to leave the comfort of your home and go pursue the guy, and you're going to tell mm-hmm. me, and it's caught on camera, and they're going to just allow this to slide? It can't. It looks embarrassing for the whole department. Everybody.
That whole shift, that entire Groton PD shift, that had to have been there, because there were eight or nine police cars. I wonder how many are on a shift.
It's a great point.
The shift was there.
And again, I just say, look, this is one of those things where I said it over and over again. As a supporter of the police, as a supporter of the guys in blue, this isn't about that. Because again, I could sit up here and just rail you. See, that's how cops do. I'm not that stupid. We don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
We're talking about the incident that took place between Fahey and Reyes and what we saw. And everybody else, and this is where the Groton Police Department can show that, look, when one of ours does wrong, we do the right thing. We hold him to the same standards we would any of our officers in that situation. Is one, you don't pursue the threat once the threat is off your property. You've contacted the police. You don't pursue the threat with a gun and spit in his face to exacerbate the situation. Because what are you spitting in his face? Because you're hoping that he's going to swing on you. Which in essence gives you now the right. Yeah, I was just going to say, it gives you the right to use your weapon.
Yeah. That's what he was trying to do. He was clearly, and he was setting him up in the worst way.
I don't know what was in his mind, but how do you not come to that conclusion in that situation? Because everything he did was wrong.
Yes, and contrived and manipulative.
Yeah.
And my question is, how many attorneys, how many people incarcerated behind this trooper, this nut? How many of them are having their attorneys look at their cases and say, see, the dude is a liar. You see, the dude is manipulative. See, there are issues that should be looked at more closely in my case.
Very good point. Because, and again,
it's right there in black and white.
You don't help the situation with anything that he's done. Like I said, he's lending the idea that this guy may have done other things, and because of his hot-temperedness, may put into question any arrest he may have had. But maybe that's the reason why they have two choices here. Either they investigate this particular case and hold him accountable and think that it's all going to go away. But I got to be honest with you, Reyes has got momentum, because his interaction with the governor, Ned Lamont, because I didn't get to see it, but I read about it. This guy's going for broke, because he really does
Ned
think he's
rude.
Got a case here. Yeah, read Ned
and,
was.
And Ned was rude. And I was really, really disappointed. I mean, I'm not a fan of Ned Lamont, but I was disappointed in his demeanor. I mean, he lost a lot as a gentleman, because I think he should have listened to the man.
And you know what?
The professional came to the state, and he has a legitimate concern, and that is what this trooper did is what Fahey did is disgusting, and Ned should have listened to him.
But that's the point. Go back to the hypocrisy of Ned Lamont. Here's a guy who wanted to reform the police department or the police in the state because of the actions of an officer that's not even in his jurisdiction. okay, in the George Floyd case. So here he's got a case that, again, he can address, and he refuses to, which, again, just flies in the case, face of who Ned Lamont is. When it counts, he's got nothing to say. When it doesn't have anything to do with him, he's all talk.
Agreed. And the same thing with the commissioner there. That guy, he comes in and, you know, I can't remember exact word for word, but he was looking to be a change person, you know, and a decision maker. And this is front and center. There's no way Brian, he should not have had that opportunity. He should not have had any option.
I think they should have
arrested him, and they should have fired, and he should have been investigated.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If this publicly, I would say this one, if the PR nightmare continues for the department or for, you know, for his higher ups, then something must be done. Outside of that, I'm just going to say Reyes has a pretty good civil case because, again, it's all caught on tape. So that's probably what's going to happen. Thanks, Mark, man. Always good talking to you, man.
Have a great one.
You got it, man. You too. I watched it 1,000 times. I knew that there was going to be a retirement. As soon as I saw the tape and everything, there was going to be, all right, listen, buddy, you got to walk away. You know, we'll make it okay. But you've listened to this show long enough. And I don't know whether or not the elements here are just backwards by nature or the way in which they do things. I don't know. But I'm trying to address a culture of getting it wrong. I'm trying to correct that. And this is how you get it wrong. You've got to be proactive. This sort of trying to cover it up, save face, put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, those days are over. And you got to come at it head on. This nonsense of the way in which people deal with media types, people you don't like. Right? I know that it's really, really cushy up here in Connecticut because no one's going to hold anybody accountable. No one wanted to touch this story. Everybody was behind the eight ball on this story until it went viral. And then everybody else pretends like, yeah, we were always on it. You were a week late. And now it's out of your hands. And now if you don't address it, now if you don't talk about it, you're going to still look like you had no interest or you didn't know any better. And this is going to look bad. And there are people who are going to have to pay for it. It's a bigger scandal now because people didn't know how to deal with the scandal in the first place. And that's one. First thing you do is you own up and you address it head on. You go right for it. That's the way you got to do it. All this cowering and running away and, I can't answer you right now. I'll talk to you in private. Those days are over. And that's why Ned Lamont looked as bad as he did. He looked like he had the rug pulled from under him. Because he did. And whoever didn't tell the governor about it, shame on you. Because he looked flat-footed. But what else is new? We're talking about Lamont here. Things always seem to catch him by surprise. I mean, does he have Biden's team around him? Let's get some news, weather, and traffic with John Silver.
The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed from WTIC News Talk 1080. Download the free Odyssey app, search WTIC News Talk 1080, and tap earlier today to get started.
Normally I would tell you what happened was, but I totally forgot. We didn't do Hollywood news. It's my favorite part of the day. I'm always excited to do Hollywood news. I know some of you hate on it, but I don't care. This is actually weird that this is happening. If you've been listening to me doing Hollywood news, you notice I've been talking about a lot of sequels, a lot of remakes. Only reason why I pay attention to those stories is because it shows me that Hollywood is broken. Just as an entire medium, it's broken. They won't try anything new. They won't go in another direction. And it's the reason why places like Angel Studios is doing so well. because all of their stories are new. A lot of them are faith-based, and they do millions and millions of dollars. And they do. But regular Hollywood is just, forget about it. They're gone. It's over. And this may be another case of it. On June 19th, 2026, will be the release of another, wait for it, Toy Story film. Toy Story 5. It's bringing back Tim Allen and Tom Hanks for another go-around. This time, they're going to confront a world where kids favor gadgets over toys and reinforcing family bonds, loyalty, and the value of tradition in a changing society. That's what the movie is going to be about, coming in June of 2026. And I went to go look it up when the first Toy Story came out in November of 1995. And the age group, the marketing age group for that first Toy Story, or the Toy Story movies, are from ages 4 to 12. And that means that when this movie comes out, the ages of people who saw the first Toy Story will be 34 to 43. That will be the age group of the people who watched the first Toy Story movie back in 1995. Next year, that's how old they'll be. If you were 4 to 12 years old in 1995, you will be 34 or 43 in that range. And I'm trying to figure out, would you take your kids to go see Toy Story 5? You'd have to see all four of the first films. Doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't you? You already had her see it. Yeah, but your daughter's like a late teen. Would you take her? How old is she going to be, like 17 when this comes out? 16. Would you take her to go see Toy Story at 16? Really? You think she'd still be interested? Yes, I guess so. I guess so. My wife made me take her to go see Lilo and Stitch, so I guess that makes sense. Oh. But I just thought, I found that interesting. Goodness gracious, some of them would be close to being grandparents. Let's get a check of traffic and weather. Jason Gattarino's out. Bob Larson's in. But Mark Christopher, he's in a BPS traffic center. I know you've at least had your kids watch Toy Story.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple of Toy Story movies. I've seen that series, Todd.
Can you believe that? That we're up to 30 years, we're up to the fifth installment.
That's crazy.
Is that wild?
Now, I love Mater, the rusted-out tow truck.
So do I.
And there's a Mater on Route 2 in Preston right before Foxwoods on the left if you're going down toward Foxwoods. It's just sitting there on the left. So my buddy's got grandchildren, so I said, hey, hop out of the car. We'll take a picture with Mater, you and Mater.
What's up, everybody? You know who it is.
You know who it is. You know who it is.
It's Reese on the Radio. Frederick Douglass of the 21st century.
It's WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, we're about to get up out of here. I didn't get to the $155 million story that Connecticut's borrowing, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. I've got all of that and so much more. We also just got about an hour ago that criminal indictments are on the way for Russiagate, so stand by for that. That's going to be huge for who is going to be sent. Or whose names are going to go to the grand jury. That's an important thing. Also, on the Toy Story front, Bushwhacker says, I saw the first Toy Story in Disney World. Stevie V in the chat room says, the results speak for themselves. Toy Story 4 made $1.068 billion worldwide, which was just $2 million higher than Toy Story 3 in 2010, unadjusted for inflation. It's now the second highest grossing Pixar film of all time behind Incredibles 2. So, okay, I guess it just prints money. I get it. But I'm just trying, I'm like, I think I've seen two Toy Story films. I haven't seen anything after that because I feel like I aged out. In 1995, I was 26. Even then, I thought I was too old. Well, I was 16 and I saw the Transformers movie, the cartoon. But think about it. I was a geek. Okay? That movie had some important names in it, all right? It was voiced by the likes of Leonard Nimoy, Robert Stack, Orson Welles, Judd Nelson. But nonetheless, there were names attached to that movie. Okay? See, you guys forget about that? I was 16. I sat in the back of the theater with my girlfriend Colleen in the Bronx. That same movie theater would be shot up at the premiere of Godfather 3. It made all the papers. It's national attention. Some of you might even remember that story. Let's get to the phone so we can get up out of here. Let's go to Jeff in Marlboro. How we doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How about you, buddy?
I'm all right, sir. What's up?
So I got a question. I'd like to phrase the question in two parts and then have the answer, please.
Okay.
Okay, my first thing is, Ned Lamont, you know, 1 to 2 months ago, did he not veto a bill regarding increasing affordable housing, yes or no?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And not that I'm for the bill, I just want the facts, because I'm not sure I heard the story right. So then, in response to Donald Trump wanting to get homeless people off the streets and put them into treatment programs and whatnot, he says, I believe he said something akin to
criminalizing homeless people.
Homelessness is not a criminal act. You know, we need more affordable housing, and we are working on that. So he vetoes a bill that encourages affordable housing, and then he says, well, you know, mighty Ned to the rescue, we are working on that.
This is exactly why it's so important for me to be there. Because what you just pointed out, not one person in the media who's in a press conference with the guy even brought it up. It's like they just, it's the biggest story that this guy was handing out vetoes that now has him in a position where he's going to be primary should he run. And then he comes out there and says, oh, I'm against Big Bag Trump. And not one person has brought up what you just brought up. Not one. Not one of them even thought about it. Says, hey, buddy, didn't you just veto an exact plan that sort of exacerbates the issue that you're in right now? And he doesn't, and no one even has the guts to ask him. They just sit up there and nod, agreed with him. Yeah, Big Bag Donald Trump, absolutely. And anybody with half a brain knows that it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he basically said, I don't want to touch this issue 2 months ago. And then now he says, we're all over it.
We're all over it. Why? Because it gets him to put, see, I'm fighting against Trump progressives. See? That's all it's about.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's dumb. So was that all your questions were, sir?
I think so, pretty much. Thanks for the time.
You got it, man. I appreciate you, sir. Let's go to Adam in East Hartford. How are you, Adam?
Good. Always great to talk to you, my friend, Reese.
What's going on, sir?
And I listened to you Friday afternoon with your wife. Hey, Ghislaine Maxwell, I know Trump didn't do it, but he should not let her out. He should not give her a pardon. It would be, I don't want to say political suicide, but it would not be a good thing, right?
Well, he's a lame duck anyway, but I do take your point. He loses a lot of political capital. I'll put it to you this way. I think that the way in which he's going to go about this, and I'm just spitballing here, so I don't know this for certain, but if I'm looking at the calculus of this from the Trump administration, I want as much as I possibly can to utilize the information she has in a way that politically helps me if I have to. What I mean by that is, don't use her for political reasons. You only use her if indeed she's got something that's worth presenting. If she's got nothing, there's nothing to use, right? It's like, you know what? This is bogus. And I'll just tell everybody, here's what she had, and this is why it was of no use to us. And just use it that way. I don't have to let her out of jail. I don't have to give her any sort of immunity. But if she's not offering up anything that's worthwhile, why would I take in any, give her any sort of provisions for her testimony? I would say nothing. I would say, you know what, we'll put you in a cushy prison, but you're still staying locked up. But immunity or a pardon? No, I don't think it's worth it. Not for Trump.
You hit the nail right on the head. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening, all right?
Always a pleasure, sir. Let's go to Dave in Windsor. How are you, sir?
Good, and yourself, Reese?
Well, what's up, man?
Hey, on the sun. You know, you made it into a political thing, but honestly, it's just about money, and it's about market. And I give a lot of credit to the Mohegans for bringing them up in 2003 for $10 million. And the league is growing. And there is a something underway that I read about. Lamont is speaking to some group. They're not offering as much money as the group in Boston.
Yeah.
But they are talking about relocating them to Hartford and also putting a training facility in.
Let me ask you this, Dave, real quick. Dave, I'm going to let you finish, but I just want to ask a question about the part about Mohegan Sun, because it sounds like you like the idea. Is that correct? Do you like the idea of keeping them in Hartford but taking them out of the Mohegan Sun? Do you like that idea?
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because, it's economics. It's no different than what happened with the Whalers back in the day.
Right.
Of course, that was a municipal extortion that Carmona tried to pull back then. Yeah. And, with these guys, and it's the same thing Kraft did, municipal extortion.
Right. But let me ask,
these guys are billionaires, and they got to go and extort money from, governments and taxpayers to fund their,
Let me ask you this on the front about taking them to Hartford as opposed to the TD Bank Garden, right? What if they go to Hartford, the deal that they are going to lose out on is over $300 million. That's what the Mohegan tribe is going to get from this. The article that I was reading today from Mass Live says that, look, if I'm the Mohegan Sun, I'm looking at it going that the WNBA and Ned Lamont are undercutting the Mohegan tribe for a crap load of money. They've got if they've got a choice here to who they're going to sell it to, clearly you're going to go for the big money because, you know, there are other, you know, factors into that money. I don't think that they're going to sell it for a cheaper price to go to Hartford when they have a chance to make big bank going to Boston. What do you think of that angle as far as the Mohegan Sun is concerned?
Well, again, what I read was the offer was in the $300 million range.
For them to go to Hartford?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, the Mohegan isn't going to. No, I mean, it's economics, you know?
Right.
But the offer was less. Less than what they're willing to put out in Boston. And, you know, the unknown is, maybe these two games that they sold out, that might have just been an anomaly. I don't really know. And the other thing is, they have gotten great fan support. They have sold out their season tickets for next year, and they average almost 9,000 people in a 10,000 seat arena. It's just, again, as the league grows, the players demand more money. No different than Whalers, salaries started to go up, ticket prices started to go up. They were still putting 12,000 people in that place, but it couldn't be sustained. The market is not going to sustain the salaries that these guys started to demand in that time frame.
Well, let me ask you this on a marketing level. Let me ask, because it seems like you sound pretty much involved in this in the sense of you've been following it deeply. But let me ask you this. Do you think that even though they're like the Mohegan Sun, I think is just over 10,000 seats. Hartford, they have a likelihood that I think it's a little more than that, or is it under that at the
No, it's
going to
be about 14,000. I think.
Okay, so
about 14,000, maybe a little bit more once they remodel it. Yeah.
Right. So you got about 14,000. Now, what I'm asking you is, and again, no wrong answers, but just from what you know, if they were based in the capital city. Do you think they have a likelihood to sell more seats because they're in close proximity of places like Meriden and Bristol and everywhere else, that they'd increase their fandom?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And I agree.
Again, will they be able to consistently put 19,000 people into the Boston arena?
Garden?
I don't know. That's the unknown. Again, it's a bigger market, and they might. That's a decision for them to make, but it's going to be strictly based on economics.
No, I think you're right about
that they can get their return on investment. then they're going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And the rest
of
it's up to the WNBA and whether they're going to jump the other people in line and move the franchise. That's all.
No, you're 100% about the bank, because the truth is 19,000, that's a tough road to hoe as a new franchise. Even though they are the Connecticut Sun, and what they'd be doing is moving, they'd probably get a new name and the whole thing. The names would be the same. The fanhood, of course, you know, they did have that one. You're right about the anomaly point. $19,000 for a WNBA team. If they're struggling, like if they're in the bottom tier of like their division, the likelihood that they're going to fill up that arena to $19,000 a night that they play at home is highly unlikely for Boston. Boston's a winning town. It's title town. And if you're not doing well, people don't show up.
The other thing to consider up there is that the Bruins get all the money, you know, in that arena. The Celtics don't make anything from the concessions. The Bruins make all the money.
Indeed they do.
There's that part of it, too. One other comment. The firing that Trump did, I've never heard of anything so crazy in my life. Bureau of Statistics.
BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You think that was a wrong move to fire her?
That makes absolutely no sense. If you know anything about it, those statistics are verified by tax returns and money going into the federal government. So
well, why do they get it so wrong then? Why do they get it so wrong? This woman was demonstrably wrong. I mean, the numbers she was getting were insanely bad.
No. That's where you're wrong. Just read about it. I did. I'm not going to get into debating that.
Okay. Well, it's a little late. It's a little late in the show for that. But Dave, you know what? I'll take you up on that. I'll read a little more into it. But what I've read,
do a deep dive on it.
Okay.
Do a deep dive and go to the Economist and read about it. Yeah.
Okay, I will. I'll definitely take you up on that. Thank you, Dave.
Right,
much appreciated,
evening.
Sir. You too, sir. Good talk. I like that. The Connecticut Sun. That debate's going to be around for a little while on whether or not they stay or they go. But I'm interested to find out exactly if the fans here fight back. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't hear a lot of people screaming for them to stay. But with the exception of Dave there, you know. But I think it's a good idea to keep them in Hartford if they can. And if they can pay the price, they should. All right, make sure you check us out tomorrow. We had a great Monday. Welcome to your week. We got more news and more views than you can shake a stick at right here. As I always say, radio is free, so we thank you for paying attention. Remember to keep JC in your hearts and in your minds. Sean Patrick, we love you and we miss you. Remember that panic is not planning, so plan your work. And work your plan. Me, I'm Reese on the radio. You have a good night, pleasant tomorrow. John Silva's got news, and Mark Christopher's in the BPS Traffic Center getting you home. Good night, Mark. See you, Manana.